are you doing? I was thinking, I held a revival a couple of weeks ago at a church, and they had one of them chairs. And one night I got to try it out a little bit. We need a supercharged model because it'd take you 20 minutes to get up here. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's got the little rail on it, and the chair's there, and you press the button, and it just eases you up. Another year or two, many of us in here is going to need that. Can you say amen? But it's good. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Love him. I love you. I appreciate God giving us each other to walk through the life that we have. What would we do without our brothers and sisters in Christ? What would we do without the Lord? How would we make it? And I want you to go back with me again to Psalms 23. You're going to know Psalms 23 before we're done. I hope that you will. Psalms 23 is a wonderful word of God, the wonderful things that we do. We're going to read a verse of Scripture tonight. It's verse 4 that we use this morning, the same one. I'm going to preach again on it. And it's probably the most read verse. If it's not, John 3:16 would be. But they say this is the most read verse in all the Word of God. Verse 4, the most quoted verse in all of Scripture. Like for you to stand, and we're going to read that, not hold you too long tonight. But I'd like for you to listen this morning. This will be different tonight. We're going to go into the Scripture a little bit more and talk about it. This morning we talked about the valley of the shadow of death, and not really the death part, but the valley of the shadow. The troubles we have, the uncertainties we have, the fear that seemingly the church has today of what's going on and how that we feel. But tonight we're going to go a little bit deeper. We've all been touched by death. We've all had our hearts broken in many ways. But I want us to read the whole chapter again. Verses 1 through 3, David is talking about the Savior. Verse 4 through the rest of the chapter, he talks to the shepherd. Let's read it. The Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's a good chapter, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, for you being our shepherd. And we love you tonight, and we praise you tonight for all that you do. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand that we have the protection that we need. That, dear God, we ask that you would show us that in every situation, in every trial, in every uncertainty, in every fear, that, God, you're already there. You've already taken care of it. That in every death that we'll ever see, you're already there in that death. And God, we give you praise that as a child of God, we're immortal until you get through with us. And God, when you're through, we're ready to go home. And we pray that you'd have your way tonight. Bless your people tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Now, this verse has touched thousands, tens of thousands of people that have unsettled hearts, that have been faced with death, been faced with heartache, been faced with brokenness in their life. But only those who can call him shepherd can claim these verses. I hear people all the time that don't even know the Lord. They claim and read, and many of them can quote this Psalms 23, and it means absolutely nothing to them or God when they say it. But the psalmist said here, he said, "My shepherd." He talked about you and I. The Lord is my shepherd. And every one of us tonight that are saved can say, "The Lord is. He's mine. He's mine, not just yours. He's my, not only Savior, but he's my shepherd." And when we read that, we understand the glory about that, that he is my Lord. And he's everything else in this psalm because I made him my shepherd. Now, I must say again in every message that
A lot of people can make him and claim him as Savior, but they cannot claim him as shepherd. And if you can't claim him as shepherd, then you cannot claim Psalms 23. Many of them are saved. Many people know the Lord, but they have never heard his voice in the way that God meant, and they don't follow him as they should. They can call him Savior. They're going to get in because of grace and faith. They're going to believe in him, but they're never going to have his glory, his strength about them because of making him shepherd. Make him your shepherd. Is he your shepherd today? The Bible says here, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We're speaking now in verse 4. We have changed from talking to him as about him as shepherd. Now we're talking to him as our shepherd. It's an ongoing relationship. When we were first saved, God touched us. God lifted us up. He anointed us. He blessed us. He saved us. And we began to talk of him as shepherd. We began to hear his voice. We began to follow him. But now this man, this shepherd here, this sheep, I might say, David is talking and he is saying, listen, I once knew you as a young man, but now I'm older now. I've got experience now. And I talk to you now. And he's talking to the Lord here in chapter or verse 4, face to face. And we see this and we see the glory of the Lord. We've seen him in verse 1. He's leading them to green pastures. We've seen him as he made us to lie down in the still waters and enjoy the still waters as it refreshed us and helped us. We've walked in paths of righteousness or right paths that he has set for us. We have grown in the Lord now. We have saw the glory of God. But now he is changing here to death. He's talking about death. Not only will the shepherd guide us as we live, but he will protect us as we die. Can you say amen? What we need to understand is that God is with us. And if you and I, as children of God, live with him, then we'll die with him. And that means a lot, and you'll understand what it means. Paul talked a lot about death. He talked about in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And Paul understood death. He had saw death. But he continued in verse 23, he said, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, Paul didn't want to die. Paul didn't have a desire to die. I don't think anybody in their right mind has a desire to die. And Paul didn't do that. He wanted to stay with them. He wanted to minister to the Lord. He said in one place, I'm not ready to do it, to die. I'm not ready to go. And Paul didn't want to die, but he knew that if he did, it would be better for him. He knew that his glory awaited, the glory of the Lord that he would see, heaven, and the glories that he saw in the third heaven. I imagine as he come back from heaven, have you ever thought about that? As he came back from heaven, having seen the glories of heaven, he couldn't even write about it because God said, don't tell about it. He saw all of this stuff. He couldn't write about it. My goodness, it's like somebody, and whether they do or not, I don't know, but I don't think they do, but that died and went to heaven, come back. You see, what I followed them, some of them. They don't even live for Christ. I want to tell you something. If I died and went to heaven, saw the glories of God, you can guarantee that I would destroy this body, that Christ may come alive in my heart. And they hadn't seen anything, but Paul did. And he wanted to go there. And you and I, as children of God, we want to go there. It's like somebody said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there, amen? So we're not, and that's the way God made us. Paul, he had saw it, he understood it, he gloried in it, but he was happy here to do God's will and God's way until he got ready to take him home. Now, verse 4 is the hinge of this Psalms. It's the hinge of it. It changes formats. We meet God face to face here. Charles Spurgeon said of this, and I like what he said of this verse. He said, it has been a pillow, a dying pillow, to thousands of the saints of God. They have laid their heads down on it and have passed into the glory with calmness, assurance, and confidence in their God. Can you say amen? Boy, it has. My goodness, how many times I've asked people that are on their deathbed, I'll say, what's your favorite psalm? Psalms 23. And then they'll say, the Lord is my shepherd, and God is my rock. And they'll talk about those things, and they'll say, I'll say, what's your favorite verse in that? It's always verse 4. It's always that in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because that's what they're going through at the time. They're needing that assurance, that comfort. I've got a precious man now that I talk with that has lived for God all of his life, and he's at the end of his life, a wonderful man of God, done a great work for our country in the military. But he is struggling sometimes now with his faith. And at 80-something years old, he has lived for God, taught for the Lord. He knows what God said. But he's asking, can you retell me the story? Can you reassure me in my faith? Sometimes we need that. The valley of the shadow of death, when death hits us and the doctors say you're going and they call in hospice, there's times that we wonder what is out there, that we wonder if all that we've read is true. And beloved, I want to tell you something. I found that it's true, that every word of the Word of God is sacred. It is true. It is established into the heavens, and you can believe it and you can thank God for it. I want you to notice here tonight the understanding that we have here, the Lord's path that he went through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, as we said earlier, this is a real place in Israel. As we traveled through there, I can see it in my mind tonight. As we changed cars and the Jewish driver went back and we were going into Muslim territory and into Palestine. And as we went into there, because Bethlehem is in Palestine, and as we went in there, we began to, and of course all of that is called Palestine anyway, but anyway, we was going into a place that the Jews didn't control, and they couldn't drive in there. They couldn't go in there. And we went through this big wall that the Israelites had established to keep them out. And we drove through there, and this Arab, as he traveled with us, nice as he could be, he showed us, and he said, up there is Bethlehem, and we was traveling to the high spot where Bethlehem was. And as I looked over, I looked at the valley, and I said, what is that? He said, that is a very deep valley. He said, it's known as the valley of the shadow of death. He said, it's the valley of darkness is what we call it, or you would call it in your language. He said, the shepherds would take their sheep from the place of Bethlehem. And he said, they would travel down into that valley, and they would go down. They started at 2,700 feet in elevation, and they would go down 1,300 feet below sea level to the Dead Sea. And he said, that's where the grass was in the wintertime. And he said, after they had eaten, they would travel back up through this valley of darkness, back up to Bethlehem and to the green fields that were there in the summertime, and they would begin to eat again. The Bible says here that it's the Lord's path through the valley. We understand the danger of the valley, that the valley was dark. Sometimes it was only 10 to 12 feet wide. Other times you were traveling along a path that you could drop 20 feet just right there. The shepherd had to be careful. But the shepherd knew for them to receive substance that he had to take them through this valley to the better ground. Beloved, God took them through this dangerous valley. And God will take you through a dangerous valley in your life. Understand tonight, there are things that's coming into your life that has came into your life that God has allowed in your life. He had to take these sheep from the place they were to the place they needed to be. They needed to grow. They needed sustenance. And the shepherd loved them enough to take the chance of them going through the valley that they might grow in the things of God. God has allowed you to go through things. He's allowed you to suffer sometimes in a terrible way. But I want you to understand tonight, the shepherd went with you through the valley. He guided you through those times and through those heartaches of life. Sometimes it ended in death. Sometimes it ended in people not dying yet, feeling like they were dead. They were lonely. They had lost a loved one. They had lost things in their life. But beloved, I want you to understand tonight, that the shepherd took them through that he might lift them up at the end. And I love the wording there, as we talked about it a little bit this morning, that the time there and the valley there is not a dead-end street. It's not bottled up. It's open. and we can see light at the end of the tunnel. That God allows us to see that, allows us to glory in that. And that is the joy that it is. When you see the valley, it's dark. When you see the valley, there'll be all kinds of dangers there. But thank God the shepherd was with them. The shepherd protected them with his rod and his staff, and he took care of them. And God will take care of you. Look at your neighbor and say, God will take care of you. He does. He's taking you to the valley to grow you, the danger of this valley. But also we see here the delight of the valley. It's a delight. When he told me about that, I said, I didn't know that. I've heard that. But now I've saw that. And what a joy it was. See, the valley provided, excuse me, a natural trail from the highlands down to the lowlands and back up again. A natural trail. The waters had washed it out over time, and now they were using it to the glory of the shepherd and of the sheep. And the sheep followed the shepherd. And see, that's the key tonight. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I know them. See, there's an opposite to that. Those that are not my sheep don't hear my voice. They don't follow me. I don't know them. See, we need to understand that there's always the opposite and the negative where there's a positive in Scripture. There's always a negative. For every promise, there's a condition. And God took them through this valley to delight them, to bless them. They didn't know it. The sheep said, well, I'm comfortable up here. Why are you taking me through the valley? Why do I have to face obstacles and danger? And the shepherd knows, says, I know what I'm doing. You got to understand tonight, he knows what he's doing in your life. He's got your path ordered. There's things come into my life I would have never ordered. Not at all. There's things I've faced and things I will face that I would, if Jesus come to me and said, Rudy, I'm going to do this. What do you think? Now understand something. He doesn't ask me what I think. He doesn't care. He's going to do it his way, and that's what I want. Because he's going to do it in love. He's going to do it in knowledge because he knows my future. He knows who Rudy is. And he knows what I need. And he's going to take me through that. And that is what God is doing here. And God is telling us about that. We see here the delight of the valley. We ask a question, why would the shepherd lead us to such a place? It was the only place that the shepherd could take them that they would be taken higher in their life, that they would be blessed. He couldn't leave them in the highlands when winter was coming. Although they were comfortable at that time, he knew that they had to have something. And that something was the lowlands during that terrible time. It got awful cold and it would kill the sheep. And the shepherd took them through this valley for purpose. God is taking you where you are tonight with purpose. You need to understand that. He's not taking you there to hurt you. He's taking you there to help you and to love you. He's done that. Our task is to believe that, to trust that. And then God will reveal his word to us and allow us to do those things that are right. Now, here we talk about death. We talk about the reality of death. Death is real. It's real. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. You're going to die. Look to your neighbor and say it. Just be honest. You're going to die. I read something one time, a true story, man. He went to his doctor and he was scared to death, kind of a schizophrenic in this way, but he was scared of death. And he went to his doctor and he said, doctor, he said, I'm staying in my house. I've got the door shut. He said, I can't get out. I sleep most of the day. The doctor said, what's wrong? He said, what kind of sickness? He said, I'm not sick. He said, I'm afraid of dying. And he said, doctor, I'm afraid to get out of my house. He said, I'm afraid to get out of bed. He said, the only time I'm safe is when I'm in bed. The doctor looked at him, and true story. And the guy looked at him, the doctor did, and said, listen, he said, did you realize that 450 people annually die from falling out of the bed? Now, I don't know what was said after that. But the doctor was telling that. And he was a Christian doctor. You're not safe. You're going to die. I've been following a guy that is trying to reach immortality. He's a rich man, a billionaire, and he's trying to reach immortality. He spent all of this money. And this has been several weeks, months that he's been into this. And he's feeding himself all the good stuff, all the stuff. He's trying to find any concoction that will give him long life. And he's come to a point now, he said, this stuff is killing me. And the last thing I read on him, he said, you're going to die. We just need to enjoy life. Solomon said that, but Solomon said, I've come to the conclusion of the whole matter that life is to fear God and keep his commandments and not worry about anything else. We're going to die. The reality of death is that all die. And then all face the Lord. Every one of us faces the Lord. And that's something that's going to happen. So we got to understand and be prepared about those times. We have to be prepared. I have friends, some friends that we have that has a travel trailer. And they'll go 5 or 6 weeks a year and they'll go take vacation. But what they do is, before they go, they'll hook this thing up to their house. And Ethan may do that. David may do that. I don't know. But they'll hook it up to their house, and they'll live in that thing for a week. And one day I saw him living in it. I said, why are you living here? I said, why don't you just go camp? He said, we want to make sure we've got everything. He said, you need to be prepared. And he said, we live in it for a week. And he said, we'll find that we don't have salt, or we'll find that we don't have some spice, or we'll find that we don't have the right stuff. We'll get out there and away, and he said, we won't have nothing. So he said, we live in it before. Well, that's good advice to people that are going to die, to be prepared. See, the reality of death is you're going to die one day. Some die young, some die older, but it's all relative. We're all old, whether we die when we're 1 or die when we're 100. Because if you're 99, you're old. But if you're 11 months old, you're going to die at a year, you're old. It's relative to what age you die. What age are you going to die? Well, Brother Rudy, I don't know that. God does. What you've got to do is prepare and be prepared no matter what comes into your life. And that is what this is talking about. There's nothing, no one talks about death and understands death like God does. And God has put in His Word what we need to do. And God said to them, it's just a shadow. If Jesus come back tomorrow, what would you do differently? Or excuse me, if He come back tonight, what would you do differently today? If you knew that right now, in an hour, God's coming back, what would you have wished you had done this day? Then you should have done it. Because you don't know when He's coming. You don't know when He will take your life. See, we should live today as if that today was the last day. We should prepare as if we're going to live for 20. But death is a reality to all of us. The Bible said in Psalms 90:20 to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Not only the reality of death, but the burden of death is talked about here. The unknown. People fear death. There's people here tonight, I guarantee you, you fear death. When death comes, it's gonna scare you. Because we doubt God sometimes. We don't know what's happening. It's the unknown. We're looking out there and you say, Brother, I just don't think about it. Why? Because you fear it. I don't want to think about it. It's coming. You need to think about it. It needs to be on your mind. The Bible said here, they that walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not if you will, it's you are right now. You're walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now. And we need to understand what God is talking about and how that He is doing it. But that valley is a valley that is open at both ends. David knew that he couldn't go around the valley and reach where he needed to reach. He knew that he couldn't go up over the valley or anything. He had to go through the valley. The valley that he's talking about here ultimately is death. Past all the uncertainty, past all the fear, it's the time that we die. And I've told you, I've had 2 or 3 instances in my life that I thought I was going to die. One of them, I was a younger man, it scared me, I'll be honest with you. Not too long ago, I took the wrong insulin and I almost died. It felt good. I don't know if I was high on the insulin or what, or low on the insulin. I don't know what you would say, but it took my blood sugar down to nothing. And it stayed down in the 30s and 40s for a whole night. And the doctor told me later, he said, "We almost lost you." He said, "I don't know if you realize that." He said, "You could have died." I said, "Well, not unless God said I could." And that is true. Now, I remember on the way up there, Donna was speeding, as she normally does, but she was going real fast this time. And I looked over at her and I said, "Donna, if I go, don't talk like that." I said, "It's okay. It's okay. I wonder what heaven looks like." You don't talk to somebody that loves you when you're dying wondering about that. I found out. Because if I hadn't have died with the sugar, I was going to die in the car because we was going to wreck. You're going to die. That's not bad, is it, as a child of God? It's not. Paul said it's better. But we do have a burden to it. We do have a burden. The Bible says here, "Though I walk through the valley." See, there's no rush to death, are they? But there is a steady walk, a steady progress. And each of us are on that road. We don't know where it'll end, but we know it will. So we prepare, we take care, and we trust the Lord. Notice in verse 4, the Lord's presence in this valley. Not only the Lord's path through it, but the Lord's presence. And I'm losing my throat for some reason. But verse 4 said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Now David had been talking about the shepherd, then he began talking to the shepherd, and now David knew that he would not go through the valleys alone. I want you to think about that tonight. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you will, no matter what life has planned and that God has out there, you're not alone. You're never alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you, the Bible says. He said in John 14, 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Isaiah 41, 10, "Fear not, for I am with you," he says. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I love Isaiah 43, 2. Listen to it. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you." Why? Because our good shepherd will be there with us. Can you say with me tonight, God is with me. He is with us. He is our protector. He is our guide. He is everything to us. Go with me to Hebrews 13, if you would. Turn with me in Scripture to Hebrews 13. Listen to what it says in verse 5 and 6. We need to understand what God is saying in our hearts. You know what a shadow is, don't you? A shadow has no substance. Nothing. A shadow cannot hurt you. It can cause fear in your life. See, the shadow of a raging dog cannot hurt me. The dog can, but not the shadow. A lion's shadow cannot hurt me. And what God is saying here is the image that he's using, that death itself, even death itself, is just a shadow to the child of God. It's a place of getting ready, a place of getting right with the Lord. We can trust him in that. Hebrews. The Bible said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such thing as you have. For he has said," listen to this, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what men shall do unto me." How do you defeat a shadow? How do you defeat the fear in our lives? You remember what the Bible says, that when we appear before God, that we're going to appear faultless before the presence of the glory of the Lord? How do you get rid of a shadow? You just turn and start looking at the light. See, when you and I start turning and we start looking to the Lord and trusting the Lord and trusting his word, the shadow flees. What is the shadow? It's the fear of death. It's fear of the death of our loved ones. It's the fear of not knowing where they went, not knowing where we're going. What do you do to take care of that? You turn to Jesus. See, the Bible says that God himself cannot see any fault in you because of the glory of the presence of the Lord. In other words, the Lord was taking care of the shadow of our sin. He was taking care of all of the bad, dark stuff in our lives. And that was overshadowed by the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that's exactly how that we get rid of the fear of death. That's exactly when we go through that time that we get our eyes on the Lord and we see His presence, we see His light. And God is able to bless, and God is able to strengthen, and God is able to help. We're going to die, but we will die with the presence of the Lord in our lives. And we can trust that, we can understand that. I love the verse of Scripture, Psalms 116:15. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I love the word precious. It doesn't mean just valuable. No, in the Hebrew, it means something more. It means carefully attended to. It means that God is there with us, that He takes care of us. It's precious. Why? Because He takes care of it. I've seen some of you as your loved ones have died and as you've ministered and helped them and you've loved them. We call hospice in to do this very thing, to attend to prepare for. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying, that you're precious to me. I carefully attend unto you in those times, in those things. It means that we're carefully watched over by God. Do you feel watched over by God? Going through heartaches, going through strife, going through trouble? Because you are. So, Brother Rudy, I prayed for healing and it hasn't come. You're being watched over by God, I'll assure you. See, you're His. You're precious in His sight. The saints of God are precious. They're carefully watched over even unto death. And that's what we have to keep in our hearts and our minds. God has use for you. You can bring Him glory no matter what comes into your life. And Christ died for us. Now, we're talking here about the protection in the valley. The Bible said, I will fear no evil here. Why? Because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I'm glad of that. The rod protected the sheep. The staff comforted the sheep. The rod fought for the sheep, but the staff pulled the sheep in and guided the sheep. And God does that for you and I. Tonight, would you allow Him to do that? Would you allow Him to touch you in this thing called death, that you would fear death no more? Paul said, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Meaning there is none. That through Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible said through Jesus Christ, we have victory in the Lord. All of us do tonight. As your head is bowed, your eyes closed tonight, would you say the very word Emmanuel? It simply means God with us. Literally, in literal translation, with us is God. With us is God. The Bible said, having loved them, He loved them until the end. And God will love you till the end. You're precious in the eyes of the Lord, church. You're carefully attended to. You're carefully watched over by God. No matter what comes out there, no matter what the world chooses to do, no matter if it even comes to death, it's all right because God is in control. He feels your pain. He feels your heartache. He's been in the same place that you are. Father, we pray that you'd have your way in our hearts, our lives, that you would touch us. Lord, help us to understand that you're for us. You're the God of our refuge. The Scripture says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thank you, Lord, that you've got our back. Thank you that you're for us. Thank you, though, that someday we will die, but we'll die in your arms. We'll die and we'll see glory. And we praise you for that, Father. And Lord, to those that have outstripped us in life, they've already seen the glory. They've already walked through those glorious places and saw your greatness. And they stand tonight praising you as we should. And we do give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. I'm glad God is God.